Good evening.
Malka, good evening.
Good evening, Malka. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, I'm well.
Great.
It was a nice day today.
Yeah, it was. It really was a nice day.
Are you the only one on?
I'm not sure.
Let me check. Yes, you are.
Hi.
Good evening, Hannah. Malka's on. Okay. We are going to finish section 14 tonight, Bezrat Hashem. We're going to start at Pasuk 116, and it's section 14 of Parashat Noah. And we'll start with L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud, Kud Shabarichu, Ishkinte, Bid Hilu, Urchimu, Ud Hilu, Ud Hilu, Urchimu. Leyachta l'shem yud hei bavav hei b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kononei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kononeihu. V'raza olifna sa'kud shabarichu satim. Vegalya, galya, hu beidina, biltata satin, hu atar dekol birkan, nafkai, nafkei, mitaman ugin kach kol milo, devar nash de inun. Bistimu birkan sharyan alo vekal deinun. Hit galyahu atar deve dina sharyan alo. Begindihu atar beit gale vehahu deikre. Rain shaltid aleya vekola uberazai la'a kegavna dilela. I have learned a secret that the Holy One, blessed be He, is revealed and concealed. He is revealed when presiding over the lower courthouse, which is the female principal called Rachel, who stands from the chest of Zeronkin downward. And he is concealed when he is at the place from where come out all the blessings, which is the state in which Zeronkin mates with Leah. Leah stands from the chest of Zeronkin upward, and from this mating all blessings come forth. This is why all of the affairs of man that are hidden from sight are blessed from above, while all those exposed to view are under the influence of the court of justice. Namely, the female principal who is from the chest of Zeronkin downward. Because this is the place that is revealed, namely the revealed world, in other words, chasadim, are revealed in her by the illumination of Chachmah. The one who is called the evil eye rules over it, meaning that all judgment and klipot cling to the place where the illumination of Chachmah is revealed. But in the female principle, above the chest, there are hidden chasadim, which is why it is called the hidden world. No Klipa can seize it. Thus, blessing from the hidden world rests on him whose affairs are concealed from sight. But judgment from the revealed world rests on him whose affairs are for all to see. Thus, all is according to the supernal secrets of above. Questions, comments, thoughts? I'm going to give you a lot of time because this is a lot to contemplate.
My first thought is a lot of English for very little Aramaic. That's my first thought.
Well, and you can see from the capital letters that Rabbi Ashlag felt the need to make extensive commentary.
Mm-hmm. My remarks is about Leia. You know, she wasn't loved. Rachel was. But, boy, did she get some reward.
I don't mean to change it. It's not that she wasn't loved. It's just the Torah doesn't say anything about how she was loved because she is concealed. So she is loved. That's why she's there. That's why she's buried next to Jacob. He grew to the level that she represented. When we had the session on Rachel on her Hilulah, we discussed how Rachel was supposed to be Jacob's soulmate, and Leah was supposed to be Esau's soulmate, and they were to work together, all four of them. But Esau went to the negative system and didn't acquiesce to his role, and so Leah and Rachel, when they went under the chuppah with Jacob, they changed roles. So when Jacob was at the point of when he first got married, Rachel was his soulmate, and he loved her. But when he elevated spiritually and grew to a higher level and he became Israel, Leah was his soulmate, and he loved her. But the Torah doesn't say anything about how he loved her, because when we speak of Leah, as this verse is telling us, Leah is on the level of concealment. And blessings flow to what is concealed. And what is revealed is based on judgment. And that's why Rachel died. She died because she took the idol from her father, Laban. But actually she died because Jacob made the statement that whoever took your idol should die, not realizing that Rachel had taken it. But it's all those verses are what helps us understand this verse. So don't make the mistake of looking at each verse in the Tanakh on its literal level. There's always deeper meanings to it. I took a little bit of time, and I'm sorry that I hope I didn't cause you to forget what you wanted to ask.
No, I was just saying, and that's basically where I was going, how Leia was elevated to where she was in the concealment, in the higher spiritual world than Rachel, and understood what Rachel's role was, and that they were the roles did switch. But, you know, like you said, when we read it, we don't quite understand it. But, you know, reading it in the Torah, we see that Jacob's first love was Rachel and how Leah,
yes.
That's kind of where I was headed, and how beautiful that is that Leah endured, and she actually, the rewards were great, you know, for her soul, basically.
Yeah. That is correct. The rewards were great. And she did become Jacob's soulmate for all time, essentially, being buried next to him.
Right. That's correct. Now, another question along those lines. It says that the souls that are in the righteous realm, their souls rest. They're at peace. Where Rachel's soul, she's not at peace until all her children come back to back to the homeland. So I take it that her soul is never at rest until that happens.
That's correct. It's never discussed for whatever reason, but essentially Rachel is the chariot for Shabbat.
Right. And all souls rest on Shabbat.
And everything rests on Shabbat. So on Shabbat, she does rest in. Because
okay.
Everything rests on Shabbat. Hamid, did you want to say anything at this point?
No. I mean, everything you said, already knew. And every time we talk about Raquel, I always think about visiting her tomb and, you know, how much it meant to me, which I never thought I'd ever get to do that.
The important aspects and why there is so much comment by Rabbi Ashlag is where it says, all judgment and klipot cling to the place where the illumination of Chachma is revealed. But in the female principle, above the chest, there are hidden chasadim, which is why it is called the hidden world. But where Chachma is revealed in Malchut, that's the illumination of Chachma, that is revealed in Malchut. That is the purpose or the completion, when all of the wisdom, all of the Chachma, has flowed and is revealed in Malchut. That's Mashiach consciousness.
Years ago, when I studied Leah, I was surprised to learn that she and Rachel were twins. And I guess because of the meaning of her name being weak-eyed, some of the commentaries hint that either she had something wrong with her eyes or she was not as beautiful as Rachel. But that wasn't the case. They said that she knew that she was meant to be the soulmate of, or the to have, to be married to Esau. And she would cry along the road, so much so that her eyes would become red and swollen. And I think when one really cries out to Hashem from the bottom of your heart, that he does answer, and he evidently answered Leah's prayers.
Correct. And that's why Jacob ended up burying her, and that's why Rachel didn't embarrass her and gave her the code words that, that Jacob had given to him.
Do we know what the code words were?
We do, but I don't remember exactly what they were. I'm trying to remember it, but it's not coming right now.
Mm-hmm.
I read it once, what they were.
I don't think it might be in the Midrash says. I can check that at a later time.
It did not say it in the one for children. The Midrash says for children it did not say it.
Yeah, well, I have the other one.
Okay. You can take a look to let us know.
Okay. So, Rachel,
but the answer
and
to your question is, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. What was the answer to my question?
The answer to your question is, yes, we know it, but I don't know it right now.
Okay.
And I said, perhaps it's in the Midrash says, and he said, there's a children version. And I said, well, I don't have that one. I have the other. And I think at the beginning, when you came into my classes, I think that was one of the first set of books that I recommended that you and Brian get. So I don't know, maybe you bought the set yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not get the adult version. I started with the children's version and then moved on to an English translation of the Midrash Rabbah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one is a five-book series, you know, one for each, I think.
Right.
It's four or five volumes.
Yeah, I know that one.
And I bought those when I first retired, so that was 1993. So, but gosh, did you ever find, you know, there was so much in it, like learning the name of Lot's wives and some of these little hidden things that you wondered about were in the Midrash says. So,
yes.
So Leah and Rachel's soul did not come down with Jacob. You know, they always have a female attached with the male. So Leah and Rachel's soul stayed up in the, I guess, the Garden of Eden, if you want to call it that, but did not come down with him. So when Jacob and Esau were born, they did not have their female part with them.
No, but Jacob and Esau were twins, and Rachel and Leah were twins, but they were born into the same relationship, because Rivka is the daughter of Laban.
Right.
No, excuse me.
But I guess
she's the brother of Laban. The sister of Laban.
Sister Laban,
so the relationship was always there. So it wasn't that they were into the same immediate family, but they were into the same extended family.
Okay, so a female was not born at the time of Jacob and Esau's birth. It was just two males that were born through Rivka. Okay.
That's correct.
And Isaac would be the same way, right? Rivka was not, did not birth with Isaac.
That's correct.
And why was that?
Well, take it back to Abraham. Let me kind of explain it from the beginning. Adam and Eve were created in unity, right? Even though it was back to back, they were essentially the same figure. Then Cain and Abel are born with their twin sisters because their soulmates are born with them. But then there's the sin. And the sin means that the world became a little bit chaotic, and that also applies to the levels of reincarnation. So as the generations fell spiritually, their soulmate is further from the birth. As a discussion, that, because I haven't ever read it anywhere, but just to give you a way of understanding it, a soulmate can be born into the same extended family, or it could be born into the next door neighbor. It's easier to find your soulmate in your next door neighbor than it is to cross a sea to find your soulmate. So as people fall spiritually, where their soulmate comes into the world is more distant from where they are, physically and spiritually. But as someone becomes and grows to the level of a tzaddik, their soulmate is drawn to them. So their soulmate will cross the ocean. Their soulmate will make them aware, even though they were next door neighbors, they never thought of each other as potential mates. They were, they just grew up next to each other. But as you grow spiritually, your soulmate will be drawn to you. That is the way it works. So when the 12 sons of Jacob were born, they were born with twin sisters because they were righteous when they were born. Even though they were upset with Joseph, and he had things to correct, and they had things to correct, he was his soulmate was born, their soulmates were born as twin sisters to their brothers, except for Judah. Or I really shouldn't say, Judah, because Tamar is Judah's soulmate. But she is the daughter of Ever, Shem and Ever, they started a yeshiva in Jerusalem to study the ways of creation, and Ever's daughter, is Tamar, who is the soulmate for Yehuda. And what happens? His brothers become upset with him. He has to start thinking about what he did wrong, which is to grow spiritually And that's where, when she does what she does, to draw him into the relationship, which only occurred once. Then there's another midrash or that says that after that, Tamar was then married to Shimon. Because why Shimon? Because of the nature of Shimon represents harsh judgment, strict judgment. And she was being rewarded for her righteousness. So she, while he wasn't her soulmate, Shimon wasn't her soulmate, or maybe it was. Maybe that was the growth that she needed to go through, and so she found her soulmate. But at the moment when the Mashiach was conceived, they were soulmates. Should I go on to verse 117?
Judah had to correct himself. That's why Tamar came into play. Not so much her, but because of Judah had to. And then Tamar later had to do some correction, and that's how she ended up with Shimon. If that be a soulmate or not.
If you follow the midrash, that is correct.
So that's why generations, future generations are not birthed with their soulmates, because we have fallen so far down the spiritual tree.
Yeah, it's similar to the idea of the manna that fell in the desert. The manna for Moses fell at the door of the tent of meeting. He didn't have to go out and look for it. It was right there. But as the hierarchy of people looking for their manna, they couldn't take someone else's manna. There was no affinity. They would not even see it as they walked around. They wouldn't see manna that belonged to somebody else. So they had to go out looking for their own. And how many steps and how difficult it was for them to find their mana was based on their spiritual level. So if they were almost righteous, or maybe if they were righteous, like the 70 elders in the camp, the mana would land at their doorstep. They didn't have to go but one or two steps.
I didn't know that.
So it's a similar kind of idea. So, Pasuk 117. Beka Rabbi Yose, we amar, Zaka Adara, the Rabbi Shimon Shirya, the Gavaya. Vagaveya dehazakuta ileya asmin lambature milin ilain keilin amarabiose hai barnash leodaa lan milin ilain kate Vishad Reya Kuchabarihu Lagaban Kadato Blitzadru Milin Kameya Dirabi Shimon Amar Vadai Shapir Ka Amar. Rabbi Yose wept and said, "Happy is the generation who has Rabbi Shimon among it. His merit has brought us to these mountains so that we could hear such supreme matters. He continued, "This man has come for the sole purpose of revealing these matters to us. The Holy One, blessed be He, sent him to us. And when they came to Rabbi Shimon and repeated all that they had heard, he said definitely, all that he said is true." Any questions, comments, thoughts?
Is it just closing this section with these words?
This is the end of the section, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an introduction into the next section.
Okay.
But we're not going to take the man who was teaching it. It'll be a different idea.
So the man that was teaching would be a Zadokim? Or the Zadokim would have
He could be an angel who was sent to reveal that to them. And then ultimately to us by the Zohar being written. Or he could be a righteous human being who had studied and this was the material. We don't know. If you go back to the first verse in this section, it talks about they were on a journey to Lod, I believe is what it said. I'd have to go back and remember exactly, but so if we analyze what the words in that verse, and I think I mentioned that once or twice whenever I see that.
About the journey.
About the journey. Okay, I think it was the last verse in the previous section, but I remember it was set up that the man was somebody that they met on the road, and he didn't want to tell them any secrets because he didn't know who they were, and they thought he was just an ignorant mule tender or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is bringing the whole story into completion. So we will speak to you tomorrow for a mini Zohar class, and the 7 o'clock for questions and answers. And tonight's 7 o'clock class will be the Tikkuni Zohar. Mm-hmm. You all have a good evening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.